The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Ian O'Doherty, the Irish Independent columnist, is with me now to place his favourite read on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. Ian, it's good to see you. So what are we putting up there?
Well, you've already started off with a lie.
So,
well, it's good to see me. So let's carry on with the fiction.
Sorry.
Let's carry on with the fiction.
Usually when people say that, it's you were going to say the Indo got rid of me or something. No.
Shut up. Don't be giving them ideas. My God. No, I'm actually on to talk about what is the greatest book I've ever read.
Oh, wow.
Genuinely. The most powerful, the most impactful, the one that I read in the way that I often listen to albums. You know the way you have albums, you always go back and listen. You know, we listen to music all the time. We tend to listen to or read a book once and go, that was great. I go back to The Road by Cormac McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
Which I remember mentioning it to you once before and you kind of went, yeah, you know. It tends to, basically for anybody who hasn't read it, read it. Would be the first thing I say. It came out in 2006, won the Pulitzer. McCarthy was the greatest living writer, greatest living American writer anyway for about 30
years. Just
watch
the movie.
No. We'll get into that in a minute. But here's a book. It's very simple. It's a man and his son. They're just called throughout the book, the man and the boy. And they're walking through an absolutely devastated America on a road. We don't know what happened. We know that the clock stopped at 1:13. There was a series of dull concussions, a long share of light, and the world just stopped. So a lot of people, there's always been a debate, was it a planet-killing asteroid, an extinction event, or was it a nuclear war? I don't think it was a nuclear war because there's no radiation. But this is about 10 years later. And basically the few people who are left alive, and this is who the man has to protect his son from, are all cannibals. So hell has come on earth. And I know the last time I was on last week talking about Threads. I mean, it does.
There's a theme here.
I'm actually not that much of a depressive bugger. You know, these are just the things that I kind of like.
If you say so.
But there's a bunch of things about Threads that makes it for me the greatest book. Not the greatest book that's ever been written because we haven't read all the books. Right, but the greatest book I've ever read.
Yeah.
And it's a position that an awful lot of people who've read it would actually share. It is beautifully written. McCarthy is a stylist just beyond parallel. It mixes Southern Gothic with Faulkner, with the Bible. You know, he eschews commas and general punctuation. He's a bit like a jazz musician. And once you get into that thing, once it clicks, because I tried a few McCarthy books before, Blood Meridian and Out of Dark and stuff, and you're kind of going, it's a kind of book that it feels like you were given in school to read as a test or whatever.
Yeah.
The Road is very, really accessible. And from the moment I sat down to read it, I just didn't stop. The first book I read after I first read The Road was The Road. The second book I read after the second time I read The Road was The Road. I read it four times in succession, right? No book has ever done that to me. As they're moving along the road, they're trying to get to the sea because the father is hoping that there might be some sort of sunlight or whatever. They haven't seen the sun in years because there's clouds. And as he puts it quite beautifully, he says, by day, the banished sun circles the earth like a grieving widow with a lamp. And that's just a beautiful image. It's like all you can see is just this tiny little dot of, you know, of illumination above the clouds. Most of the people he meets, they want to kill and eat him and his son. You get these flashbacks with his wife, who's pregnant when the cataclysm occurs. And after she gives birth, you see, you know, she's saying, look, all the neighbours are killing themselves because they know how bad this is. And they can hear chanting in the hills and they can hear drum bowls. And he's saying, no, we need to stay alive. We need to stay alive for the kid. We need to do this, that, and the other. And she just goes, no, I'm married to death now. I'm gone. And she just walks off in the middle of the night and slits her wrists. And he says, and that was her great gift to me. He hasn't heard birds in years. There were no animals alive. There were no insects alive. This is literally a portrayal of the planet is on its deathbed and he is trying to keep his son alive. Yeah. Why would you try and keep your son alive?
It's miserable, this book.
It's not.
It is. I don't want to I'm not going to give away anything, but there's like there's no redemption.
Well, there is at the end.
It's not really, though.
Well, there's, you know, there's a vague, like, there's a vague chance of hope. But no, if you were to say it's no...
Very vague. Vague is doing heavy lifting in that sentence.
If you were to say that there's no redemption, that would imply that it's a very nihilistic book, and it's not. I don't think it's nihilistic at all, because it's basically the love between the father and the son. And you're a father. I'm surprised. I know you're not a particularly emotional person after what you'd said about dogs. So I've never forgiven you for what you've said about dogs. But I thought, I know people who've had kids and they read The Road first and they go, yeah, it's a good book. And then they read it after they've had kids and they're just devastated because they find themselves in this situation. I have never had kids and I still find myself devastated. And here's what's brilliant about it. You know that sense sometimes when you're lying in bed at night and there's a song that's gone through your head.
Mm.
And you go, oh, bugger, I'm going to have to get out of bed and I'm going to have to go out to Spotify or I'm going to have to get out to the CD player. I'm going to have to play this song. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to sleep. There's certain chapters in The Road that at 4 o'clock in the morning after I've gone to bed, I go, I'm going to have to get up and I'm going to have to read that passage again.
Well,
it's so brilliant.
I've actually never seen the movie.
The movie is really, really
is
good.
It is
Viggo Mortensen. And here's what's interesting about the movie. If you look at the cast list, it's Viggo Mortensen. Cody Smith McPhee plays the boy. He's brilliant in it. You got Charlize Theron in the flashbacks as the wife. You have Robert Duvall, who plays the old man that they meet on the road. You have Michael T. Williams, who was in The Wire.
Oh, yeah.
He was Omar in The Wire. He's in. And what's amazing is that they all did it for scale.
Okay.
Not because they all were so desperate
to be in the movie.
In the movie. And they all do an absolutely fantastic job. And Charlize Theron is just, she's so gaunt and terrible. And when she's talking about how death is, she's now the mistress of death and she's just going, and Viggo Mortensen is begging her, don't go out into the dark. Don't kill yourself. We still have a son. And she's just saying, no, they're going to catch me. They're going to rape me and they're going to eat me. They're going to catch your son. They're going to rape your son. They're going to eat your son. And she just leaves. And you're just reading it or watching it. Also, by the way, if somebody is more interested in movies, Nick Cave did the music.
All right.
And the music is incredible. But I defy anybody to be emotionally together by the end of either the book or the film. It's one of those things where you kind of worry about recommending, because I've broken a few people. I went through a phase of a couple of years where every present I got for somebody was a copy of The Road. And I became this weird Southern evangelical preacher, which kind of fits for a lot of McCarthy's work. I said, you have to read this. And there were two reactions. There were people going, oh my God. And like my little brother, he went off and he read everything by Cormac McCarthy in the next 18 months. He just became obsessed.
Yeah.
Other people have said, what have I done to you? You're obviously punished me by giving me this. And the weirdest reaction, and I have to say, was this own reaction that came from my mother-in-law, because she likes books. So I thought I'd freak her out. I said, you know, Ian being mischievous. Here's The Road. Have a read of that. And she got me because she came back and she went, yeah, it was grand. That really annoyed me. So Anne beat me.
The Road by Cormac McCarthy. Pride of place on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. We always allow people to kind of mention something else. There's always kind of a close run thing. Maybe not if you say this is the best book far and away that you've ever read. But anything else you would? Any other book had an impact on you?
Well, the one that's been with me longest throughout my life is, it's not a single book, it's a series of books. It's the Dark Tower series.
Oh, yeah.
By Stephen King.
Never read them. I've read a lot of other Stephen King books, but I never got into these because don't they reference other books in kind of oblique ways? And I wasn't ever sure if I would get enough of the references.
You don't have to be a nerd.
Okay.
In the least.
Okay.
But I am, so I love it.
Okay.
But like what I find is that I was 14 when I read the first installment, which is The Gunslinger. And basically, for anybody who hasn't read it, it's very simple. It's Western, it's sci-fi, it's about travelling through worlds, it's about the Crimson King is trying to destroy this tower that holds all these different worlds together. It's about that, but it's kind of not. In fact, with The Dark Tower, the better question isn't what's it about, it's what is it not about. Different books take in 9/11, they take in race relations, they take in pretty much everything that was occupying Stephen King. And Stephen King actually becomes a character in one of the books.
Oh, right.
The tribe, the Katet, they're chasing through different worlds. They're trying to find the solution to the problem they have. And they come across this drunken idiot in Maine called Stephen King. And one of the passing characters had come from a town called Salem's Lot. He was a priest who'd lost a battle with a vampire. And when he gets into our Earth, which is called Keystone Earth, he picks up a book called Salem's Lot by some guy called Stephen King. And he goes, okay, hang on, this is my life. Who is this guy that I've never heard of? And what's he doing writing about where I'm from and what my life was? So it goes into all of that. King doesn't, in fairness to him, he doesn't portray himself very well, but it's brilliant. But for 25 years, easily, from 14 to when eventually I got to the very final book, King had people on death row writing to him, saying, can you please tell me how this ends? And they're going to kill me next month. This is the last letter I'm allowed to write.
No way.
Could you please tell me? And obviously because I'm on death row, I can't tell anybody else.
Did he tell them?
And King used to always say, I don't know, because King didn't know himself how it was going to end. But it's just, it's fantastic. Every single moment, every major moment of my life from the time I was 14 to the time I was about 35. And that's when you go through all of your major moments.
Yeah.
I was either reading The Dark Tower, I had just read The Dark Tower, or I was desperately waiting for the next Dark Tower to come out. You can't say it's the soundtrack for your life because it's obviously, it's books, not music, but it is the literary soundtrack to my life. It's the unifying theory of King. And also, by the way, anybody in a bookshop, buy After the Pogrom by Brendan O'Neill. Brilliant, brilliant expose of how we have failed the moral test of October the 7th.
The Dark Tower series by Stephen King, honourable mention if you're in a bookshop, After the Pogrom by Brendan O'Neill, but The Road by Cormac McCarthy, up in the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. Eoin O'Doherty, thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.